This message is presented to you by Pastor James Moore and New Life Community Church in Kansas City, Missouri. For more information or to donate, please visit newlifekc.com.
A Sunday school teacher asked the children in her class, "How many of you would like to go to heaven?" And all the children raised a hand, except one little guy named Derek. And when the teacher asked Derek why he didn't want to go to heaven, he said, "I'm sorry, Mrs. Smith, but my mommy told me to come right home after church." Well, like that little boy, heaven is still a desire and a dream for most Americans. A recent poll showed that 77% of Americans believe in heaven. 76% of Americans believe their chances of getting there are good or excellent. Now, to be fair, there are still some people who either don't believe in heaven or don't care to go, even if there is one. The psychologist Sigmund Freud, he said, "Heaven is a human fantasy rooted in man's instinct for self-preservation." Harvard philosopher Alfred North Whitehead, he once said, "Can you imagine anything more appallingly idiotic than the Christian idea of heaven?" Well, I suppose the only thing more idiotic would be a philosopher who would make such a statement. Ted Turner, the founder of Cable News Network, he had a different take. He said, "Heaven is perfect." Well, who wants to go to a place that's perfect? That would be just plain boring. Well, in response to these statements, there are three things that I want to say unashamedly, without equivocation, without hesitation, without reservation. Number one, I believe in heaven. Number two, I want to go to heaven. And number three, I am going to heaven because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And by this time this service is over today, I sincerely hope you can say these same three things. Now, let's begin by acknowledging that people have real questions about heaven, and those questions deserve real answers. I mean, what is heaven? How do we know there is a heaven? What happens when believers die? Will we recognize other people in heaven? What will we do in heaven? Will there be animals in heaven? What does the Bible mean when it talks about a new heaven and a new earth? Will there be rewards in heaven? Well, the first question we need to answer, however, before we move on to any of the others, is this. Where do we get reliable information about heaven? In other words, where do we get real answers to our questions? And the answer is, we get real answers from the Bible, from God's Word. See, when God gave John a vision of heaven in the book of Revelation, John heard these words about heaven. "He who was seated on the throne said, 'I am making everything new.' Then he said, 'Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.'" You see, only the Bible gives us trustworthy answers about heaven. Everything else, it's mere speculation. You say, "Well, what about all the people who claim they've gone to heaven and come back? Should we listen to what they have to say?" Well, you can listen, but you shouldn't consider it a reliable source of information. I mean, some people are scams. Some are con artists. But even for the people who are sincere, how do we know from their reports what is real, what is confused, what is remembered correctly or incorrectly? Well, we don't. And the problem with many of the gone to heaven and came back books is that they often contain information that's contrary to what we find in the Bible. I think it's interesting to note that Jesus himself said, no one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. And so, we come back to the Bible as the only reliable source for information about heaven. As Billy Graham used to say, the Bible doesn't tell us everything we'd like to know about heaven, but the Bible does tell us everything we need to know about heaven while we're here on the earth. Deuteronomy 29:29 confirms this when it says, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our children. In other words, we can only know what God has revealed to us, and God has revealed those things to us in His Word. Therefore, if we want real answers to our questions about heaven, we need to go to the Bible. Only the Bible gives us trustworthy answers about heaven. So, what is heaven anyway? Well, according to the Bible, heaven is, first and foremost, the dwelling place of God. Heaven is where God lives. Heaven is God's house. And we find this expression repeated a number of times in Scripture. For instance, when Jacob had his dream of heaven and the stairway reaching all the way from heaven to earth, he said, this is none other than the house of God. Or you can turn to the last verse of the 23rd Psalm. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And when we read in the book of Revelation, where, you know, about heaven coming down to earth, well, Revelation 21:3 simply proclaims, now the dwelling of God is with men. See, God was dwelling in heaven. Heaven came to earth, and the dwelling of God is with humans. But it's still heaven. See, heaven is where God lives. Heaven is His city. It's His dwelling place. It's His home. Now, of course, we also know that God is everywhere present, but He's present in a special way in heaven. And that's why Jesus taught us to pray, Our Father in heaven. Incidentally, heaven is also the home of God's family. So if you're a part of God's family, don't ever settle down in this world or get too comfortable here, for this world is not your home. You're just a passing through. Let's read today's text from John 14, verses 1 through 6, where Jesus says, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? And Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, in this precious passage, which is without a doubt one of the most famous, one of the most beloved passages in all of the New Testament, Jesus talked more about heaven than in any other place in the Gospels. He tells us not only why heaven is His home and His Father's home, but how heaven can also be our home. Now, as I said when we began today, there are many questions about heaven, including, is there a heaven? And how can I know there is a heaven? I mean, after all, what good is heaven if, even if it's real, if there's no way of knowing it's real? So this morning, with God's help, I hope to share 7 things we need to understand about heaven from what Jesus Himself said. And first, heaven is a matter of faith. See, everything Jesus tells us about heaven was meant to be not only a word of confidence, but also a word of comfort He said to the disciples in verse 1, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." See, the word for trouble there literally means to be shaken together or stirred up. It's a word used to refer to rough waters in a stormy sea. So Jesus was saying, basically, don't be all shook up. Don't let your stomach be tied up in knots. For you see, he just told his disciples in the previous chapter that he was going to be leaving them. Now they were going to have to face life and death without his physical presence. And he knew there would be fear in their hearts. So he tells them then what he tells us now. The only antidote to fear is faith. When the outlook is bad, try the uplook. It's always good. And he goes on to say, "You believe in God, believe also in me." Now, normally that would be faulty logic, because trusting God is one thing, trusting man is another. But Jesus is no ordinary man, right? He is the God-man. See, a man who is only a man, he doesn't deserve your total trust. I don't care how much he demands it, because ultimately, he'll let you down. But a man who is God not only demands your trust, he deserves your trust, because he will never, ever fail you. So Jesus says, believe me, beyond death, beyond the casket, beyond the grave, for there is a heaven. Now, by the very fact that he tells us to take his word for it, tells us that heaven is a matter of faith. You can only see heaven with the eyes of faith. But I would be the first one to admit that faith without a foundation is mere presumption. But our faith does have a foundation. And that's number two. Heaven is a matter of fact. When I talk about heaven, I'm not talking about a mythical, spiritual Disneyland that's more fiction than fact. No, I'm talking about a real place that is all fact, no fiction. Our faith is based on fact. And there's a difference between faith and fact. It's kind of like the preacher who was trying to explain to his congregation the difference between faith and fact. And he said, that there is a congregation sitting here is a matter of fact. That you are listening to me is a matter of faith. So, how do I know that there is a heaven? How do I know that heaven is a fact? Because Jesus said so. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? So, how would I know if there was not a heaven? Because Jesus would have said so. I once read about Marlo Thomas, the wife of Phil Donahue. Her father, the actor Danny Thomas, who was a devout Catholic, he had died. And she recounts the day her father died. And she said, "Phil and I were both raised Catholic, though we are not so much involved with the church anymore. He's kind of a devil's advocate. But I called Phil from the plane that day. I was as fragile as an egg. I said, 'Answer me truthfully. Is there a heaven?' And my darling husband," I'm not sure what he believes anymore, "he said, 'Yes, yes, there is a heaven.'" She said, "The need to hear that there is a heaven and that the person you love is there is very strong." Now, I don't know about you, but I find that whole thing to be so tragic. That Marlo Thomas was trying to find comfort in a man who, by her own admission, is not even sure what he believes. Well, I can't say, yes, there's a Santa Claus, but I can say, yes, Marlo, there is a heaven. And not because Phil Donahue says there is, but because the Lord Jesus Christ says there is. And just as a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush, the word of Jesus is worth 100 million so-called scientific facts. Number three, heaven is a specific place. Jesus said he was going to prepare a place for us. The Greek word place is the word topos, from which we get the word topography, which means the study of places. Heaven is not a state of mind. It's a real place. It's not just a pie in the sky by and by. No, heaven is a place where God dwells, where Jesus sits, where angels serve, where saints sing. It's the throne of the Father. Over and over, we're reminded that heaven is a real place. In John 6:38, we're told that Jesus came down from heaven. In Matthew 6:9, we're told to pray to our Father in heaven. In Luke 24:51, we're told Jesus was carried up into heaven. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, we're told that when we pray, God will hear from heaven. Heaven's a real place, populated with real people, filled with the real presence of a person named Jesus Christ. And number four, heaven is a spacious place. Jesus said, "My Father's house has many rooms." See, heaven is God's house. There's an old translation that says, "In my Father's house, my Father has many mansions." But that's a bad translation. See, heaven is God's house. We're all going to be under one roof. But notice Jesus said there are many rooms. Why did he make that point? Well, I think that just tells us that heaven cannot be overbooked. There is plenty of room for everybody. Yes, you have to have a reservation to get in, but the reservations are unlimited. We don't ever have to worry about heaven being overpopulated. Don't ever be concerned that the golden streets will look like I-70 going east at the 5 o'clock rush hour in the afternoon. In Revelation 21:16, we read about the capital city of the new heaven called the New Jerusalem. It tells us that the length of the city is as great as its width. And the city measures 12,000 furlongs in length, breadth, and height. A furlong is an eighth of a mile, which means that this is a city which is 1,500 miles long, 1,500 miles wide. In other words, this is a city that would stretch from Florida to Maine and from New York to the Mississippi River. Now I'd say that's a pretty good sized city. Now, imagine what this city would be like, because it's not only 1,500 miles wide, 1,500 miles long, it's also 1,500 miles high. Its height, length, and width are equal. Now, let's put this in perspective. The Empire State Building in New York City has just over 100 stories at roughly 10 feet a story. So if this city had stories that measured not just 10 feet in height, but let's say they are 15 feet in height, it would have 528,000 stories. And on each of these stories, there would be 2,250,000 square miles. This means the city would have a grand total, listen, of 1,188,000,000,000 square miles. You know, the Department of Eugenistics has estimated that since men first began living on planet Earth until today, approximately 32 billion people have lived. One mathematician did a little figuring, came up with the fact that if every single one of these people who ever lived, everyone, went to heaven, there would be 198 square miles for each family in the New Jerusalem. And that's just the capital city of heaven. Now, we know that not everybody is going to go to heaven. Even if half the people who ever lived go to heaven, there'd still be 400 square miles per family. The point is, there's room at the cross for you. There's room in heaven for you. Everybody that wants to go to heaven can go to heaven if they're willing to go through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that brings us to the next point. Number five, heaven is a special place. Heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. Jesus says twice in verses 2 and 3 that he's going to prepare a place. See, the master carpenter is still building. On earth, he's building his church. In heaven, he's building a home for his church. He's in heaven even now, building blessings. He's getting the honeymoon suite ready for his bride. As I was preparing this message, I thought about the word prepare, and 1 Corinthians 2:9 came to my mind. And I discovered, when I looked there, that the same Greek word is used. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. The great evangelist Billy Sunday, he once said, if we could get a real appreciation of what heaven is, we would all be so homesick for heaven that the devil wouldn't have a friend left on earth. Okay, number six. Heaven is a spiritual place. John 14:3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You see, when Jesus went to heaven, it wasn't on a one-way ticket. No, it was round trip. The one who said, I am going to build for you, also said, I'm coming back for you. To make sure you get there, I'm not going to just send for you. No, I'm actually going to come get you, so that you also may be where I am. So please understand this clearly. Jesus is not where heaven is. Heaven is where Jesus is. Let me say that again. Jesus is not where heaven is. Heaven is where Jesus is. You take away the pearly gates. You take away the golden streets. You take away the angels and their harps, if that's what they play. And you, even if you take all that away, you still have heaven if you have Jesus. But you take away Jesus, you won't have anything. Oh, there's going to be many wonderful things to see in heaven. But make no mistake, God is the main attraction. Oh, we long to see our friends and loved ones who have gone before us, but we will be glad to see God even more. God is central to heaven. In Isaiah 6, when Isaiah shares his vision of heaven, he begins with four words, I saw the Lord. Oh, he saw many other things in his vision as well. He goes on to describe some of them. But God was central to his vision. I saw the Lord. As one man of God has said, heaven is heaven because God the Father is there and Jesus Christ is there. If you take away God, it's not heaven anymore. Which raises the question. If you don't love God, then why would you want to go to heaven? If you don't love Jesus, the Son of God, why would you want to go to heaven? Because God is central to heaven. Now, in verse 5, we find Thomas asking the question that burns in many hearts today. He said, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? In other words, he's asking, even if heaven is real, how can we know how to get there? And how can we make sure that we will get there? And to that question, Jesus did not give just an answer. No, he gave what I believe may be the greatest statement in all of his ministry. He said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You see, to get from this country into another country, there's one thing you have to have, a passport. And that's number 7. Heaven requires a passport. And the Lord Jesus Christ is that passport from planet Earth to beautiful heaven. Now, I hope you're listening carefully, because religion is not the way to heaven. Righteousness is not the way to heaven. Reason is not the way to heaven. Ritual is not the way to heaven. Resolve is not the way to heaven. Jesus is the only way to heaven. He is the truth of heaven. He is the life from heaven. Jesus is the way that takes us to heaven. Jesus is the truth that teaches us about heaven. And Jesus is the life that transforms us for heaven. He is the way. If you don't perceive this, you will never make it to heaven. He is the truth. If you won't believe this, you will never make it to heaven. He is the life. If you won't receive that, you will never make it to heaven. For you see, friends, before you can get into heaven, you have to get heaven into you. And that's where Jesus comes in. We not only need Jesus to prepare heaven for us, we need Jesus to prepare us for heaven. I read a story. I believe it occurred during the Civil War. The battlefield was strewn with bodies. And this surgeon was going from body to body, covering the dead, trying to help the wounded. He'd been doing this for hours, and he was exhausted. He was looking for a place to sit down when he heard a faint cry of a young boy saying, "Here, here." And he began to frantically search among those dead bodies, looking for this boy, following the voice, and finally he found him. And this boy was mortally wounded. But he just kept saying over and over, "Here, here." And so the surgeon knelt down beside him and said, "Son, I'm here now. I'll help you all I can." And that young soldier opened his eyes and looked up and said, "Sir, I'm sorry. I wasn't calling for you." And the surgeon asked, "Well, then why have you been saying that word?" And the soldier said, "Well, sir, about 10 minutes ago, they began to call the roll in heaven. They just called my name. And I was answering, here, here, I'm right here." When the roll is called, will your name be heard? Or will your number be up? I certainly can't speak for you, but I can speak for me. In the words of the old hymn by James Milton Black, "When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal, bright, and fair, when the saints of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Yes, I will be there. And it's my hope and my prayer that you will be there too." You can be, you know, by simply trusting Jesus Christ and allowing Him to prepare you for heaven. Now, it will require giving up your old life and receiving His new life. But the reward is a personal relationship with the King of the universe and a personal reservation for a room in His eternal house. So, whether you're already following Him or you want to begin today, I invite you to pray this prayer out loud with me. Will you do it? Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for your wonderful promise. I accept that you are the way. I believe that you are the truth, and I willingly receive your life and surrender mine. Transform me, I pray, and prepare me for an eternity with you in heaven. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message. For more information, please visit newlifekc.com.